Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, until Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. Despite the name of the Masechta, Rosh Hashanah, only the last two prokim out of the four prokim of the Masechta discuss the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah itself. The first two prokim's subject is Kiddush HaChodesh, which is when they would sanctify the new month. They would declare a day to be Rosh Chodesh, and that's because although nowadays we have a fixed calendar, that is only 1700 years old, but during the Mishnah's time and even the Gemara's time, they would know when Rosh Chodesh would fall based on seeing the new moon. As is known, the first half of the month up to day 15, the moon gets bigger and bigger, that part of the moon which we see. And then from day 15 onwards, the part of the moon which we see, which is lit up, becomes less and less. So on the first day of each month, that's when it starts to become bigger again. So if somebody sees that type of moon, which is in a particular shape, it has particular features which one can use to tell that it is the Rosh Chodesh moon. So if two people saw that together, they would come to Beis Din. They would come to the major Beis Din, the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, and they would testify that they saw the Rosh Chodesh moon. And the Beis Din would declare that day to be Rosh Chodesh. Now, every month can be either 29 days or 30 days. And so the witnesses would always come on what would be either the 30th day of that month, or it would be the first day of the next month, depending on whether the Beis Din will end up declaring that day to be Rosh Chodesh or not. So that would decide whether it is the last day of the previous month, or the first day of the next month. Now, a month of 29 days is known as a Chodesh Choser, a lacking, shorter month, whereas a month with 30 days is known as a Chodesh Me'ubar, literally a pregnant month, because of that extra day. The reason why some months have 30 days, some months have 29 days, is because technically speaking, the month cycle of a moon is slightly more than 29 and a half days. So on average, 6 out of 12 of the months of the year will have 29 days, and 6 would have 30 days. Be as may, that is the focus of the first two prokim in the main. But before that, the Mishnah introduces what is supposed to be the main topic of the Masechta, and that is Rosh Hashanah itself. And although we know of really one Rosh Hashanah, which is on the first day of Tishri, the Mishnah actually tells us that Arba Rosh Hashanah Haim, there are four dates of Rosh Hashanah in the Jewish calendar. And the Mishnah starts its list from the month of Nisan, since the Torah commands that the months of the year be calculated from Nisan, and says the Mishnah of Echel Nisan on the first day of Nisan, Rosh Hashanah LaMelochim, is the Rosh Hashanah for kings. This refers to Jewish kings, and the custom in the times of the Mishnah was that they would write on documents, when it came to writing the date, they would calculate the date according to how many years that Jewish king had reigned for. So for example, they would write, it is on such and such a month, and they'd say what day of the month it was. And when it comes to the year, they would say in the fourth year, for example, of such and such a king's reign. However, as we can see from this Mishnah, the year begins from Nisan, which means that the first year of that king's reign would usually be less than a year. In fact, if the king only became king on the 29th of Adar, the last day of Adar, already from the next day, which is the first of Nisan, that's when the second year of that king's reign begins. So anybody who writes a document from that point onwards would already be writing during the second year of that king's reign. The fact that this is on the first of Nisan specifically is learnt from Pesukim, and the Gemara also brings Pesukim for the rest of the list in this Mishnah to prove that that is the date of the Rosh Hashanah. Secondly, V'lar Golim, Nisan is also considered to be the Rosh Hashanah for the Yom Tovim, specifically the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So now we're not really talking about the 1st of Nisan, but rather the 15th of Nisan, which is the Yom Tov of Pesach. That is considered to be the first of the Shalosh Regalim, and the ramification of this is concerning the prohibition of Bal Ta'acher. If somebody makes a neder, a vow, to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, and to offer a korban, and he doesn't specify when he will do it, the halach is, at least according to this Mishnah, that he has the three Shalosh Regalim, and once they have passed, he would have violated that prohibition of delaying paying up his vow to bring a korban. However, the three of the Shalosh Regalim have to be in order. And so this Mishnah is telling us that the order is specifically Pesach, then Shavuos, then Sukkos. So if, let's say, he makes a vow a week before Shavuos to bring a korban, so he would have that Shavuos, the Sukkos, and then Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, and only after that Sukkos would he violate the prohibition of Bal Ta'acher. Because Pesach is considered to be the first of the Shalosh Regalim, and in order to violate Bal Ta'acher, he has to have passed those three Shalosh Regalim in order. So Nisan, that was the first one. The second one on the list is Be'echad Be'elul, on the first day of Elo, Rosh Hashanah L'maisa Behema. That is the Rosh Hashanah concerning the tithes of animals. The halacha is that when one's cattle and sheep give birth to lots of animals, 1/10 of those animals he needs to separate and bring as a korban. So let's say all of the animals are in an enclosure, in a pen in the field, and he passes the animals through a gate one by one, and every 10th animal he marks, and that animal will end up being Maisa Behema and needs to be brought as a korban. Now the halacha is that one needs to separate the tithes from 1 year at a time. Animals which are born in 1 year cannot be grouped together with other animals when it comes to counting every 10th animal to separate as Maisa Behema. So the question arises, how do you calculate which is part of which year? So the Mishnah is telling us that the year begins from the first day of Elul. As well as this, another ramification would be if, let's say, somebody has cattle, and there were only 5 newborn sheep before the first of Elul, and then 5 newborn sheep after Elul. So although 10 animals were born, they were born in different years. So if we look at each year separately, there were not 10 animals which were born, and therefore there would be no obligation to separate Maisa Behema. Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon Oymin Be'echad B'Tishrei. Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon say that actually the year begins on the first of Tishrei, which is the regular Rosh Hashanah for many other things, as we are about to see. And so it actually comes out that according to Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon, there are only 3 dates of Rosh Hashanah during the Jewish calendar. And again, they learn their reasons from Pesukim, when exactly the dates fall. Be'echad B'Tishrei, on the first day of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, it is Rosh Hashanah for a number of things. Number one, Lashonim, for years, and the Gemara explains that this is referring to the years of a non-Jewish king's reign. For certain documents, in order to maintain peace with the non-Jewish king as well, that they see that they are not just honoring their own king, but that we are also honoring that non-Jewish king. So certain documents use the reign of the non-Jewish king as the date. So in the same way as we explained for the Jewish king, the same would apply for the non-Jewish king, just that the Rosh Hashanah is not the first of Nisan, but rather it is the first of Tishrei. Secondly, Vilas Shmitin, for the laws of Shmitah, which is 1 year every 7 years where it's forbidden to work the land. The produce which grows during that year has certain restrictions, and there are other laws which apply during the year of Shmitah, and that year begins on Rosh Hashanah, on the first of Tishrei, Vilas Yovlois, and for calculating the year of Yovel, which is once every 50 years, and very similar laws to Shmita applied during Yovel, as well as a couple of additional laws. Be it as it may, that 50th year is also calculated using the Rosh Hashanah of the first of Tishrei. Lantioch, for planting trees. The halach is that during the first 3 years of a tree's life, it is forbidden to benefit from any of its fruit. It's known as Orla, and it does not need to be 3 complete years. Rather, as long as the first year, as long as it was planted at least 45 days before the first of Tishrei, so when it comes to the first of Tishrei, that would be considered the beginning of the second year. The tree would have already taken root properly and been able to begin growing, and so in that case, the first of Tishrei would be considered the beginning of the second year. However, if it was planted less than 45 days before the first of Tishrei, then only the next first of Tishrei will be considered the beginning of the second year. Now the Mishnah in a moment is going to give another date for the Rosh Hashanah of trees, and the difference is that the Rosh Hashanah we're talking about over here right now is known as Lanatiyah, for the planting of trees. So when it comes to the beginning of the tree's life, when calculating the beginning, when Orla begins and enters its second year, so it's still considered to be a very young tree, and for that we follow the first of Tishrei. However, once it's already 3 years old, for example, when calculating when the Orla ends, as well as for the other laws concerning real older trees, so then the other date which the Mishnah will give would apply. So for example, when it comes to Orla, the third year would not end when the first of Tishrei comes along, but you'd have to wait until after that, until the other date arrives after that, which means that the last year, the third year, would actually be longer than one complete year. Alright, and finally, the first of Tishrei is also the Rosh Hashanah of Lairakos, for vegetables concerning tithes, the various gifts which need to be separated from vegetables, for example, Maaser Rishon, which is given to the Levi, Maaser Oni, which is a tithe which is given to poor people, not every year, but during certain years of the 7-year Shmita cycle. And during the years where Maaser Oni is not given, so a different tithe of Maaser Sheni, which is when one separates a 10th of his produce and brings it up to Yerushalayim, and then can eat it himself in Yerushalayim, so that is separated instead of the Maaser Oni. Be as it may, when it comes to all of these gifts which are separated, the year is calculated from the first of Tishrei, And there are two ramifications for this. Firstly, with regards to knowing which tithe to separate. As we explained, not every year requires the same tithes to be separated. And secondly, just like we saw with the Maaser Behemah, tithes from one year cannot be separated together with tithes of another year's produce. And so it's important to know when the year begins and ends. It should be noted that when the Mishnah says vegetables, it's not only referring to vegetables, but also to all grains such as wheat and barley, and all other things which require tithes. Alright, and finally, the fourth Rosh Hashanah Be'echad B'Shvat. On the first day of Shavat, Rosh Hashanah Lo Ilon, that is the Rosh Hashanah for trees, Kedivei Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai. It's actually on the 15th of Shavat, which is known as Tu B'Shvat. The month of Shavat is when less rain begins to fall and the blossom begins to come out. So that is the Rosh Hashanah for trees. And again, the ramifications would be, firstly, when it comes to calculating Orla, and secondly, when it comes to calculating the tithes, that one can make sure not to separate tithes from one year together with another year's tithes.